Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today, and I hope that you're having a great day. Thank you for making this part of your day. At whatever point of the day that you're watching it, whether you see it in the morning or at lunch or in the afternoon or the evening, but I hope this is a time of a blessing and encouragement for you and helps you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. And the best part about it is the fact that we're here to meet with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the day that You have given to us. Lord, these moments just to stop and to turn our mind and our heart towards You. And Father, I pray, O God, that You'll enable us to hear from You. Lord, to know You better, to be able to trust You more. Father, draw us close to You, Father. We need You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder how you began your day today. And again, I don't know if you're watching this in the morning or the afternoon or the evening, but I wonder how you began your day today or how you begin most days. Did you get up with a sense of fear and worry and anxiety, maybe a burden? I wonder how it would be if you could start your day as the psalmist did in the very first verse of Psalm 68, where he said, "Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let those who hate Him flee before Him." Now, the background of that verse is actually from Numbers chapter 10. That's what they would say when God would lead Israel and to begin another day's journey in the wilderness, or at least another stage in their movement. This is what they would say when the ark set out. But what if you could say that at the beginning of each day? Well, look at the difference it'd make in our attitude. Look at verses 2 through 4. "As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness." You look at the joy, the praise, the confidence that's there. And you think, well, what makes that possible? Well, when we see that, we look at the rest of this psalm. Now, this is a long psalm, so we can't look at all of it. We can only catch a flavor of it. And I love what one expositor stated. He said, "This psalm is composed of such diverse elements as to defy classification," which is a comfort if you try to read it. And yet the reality is, you know, while you have a hard time really coming up with a firm outline of this passage, there are recurring ideas and themes. And it's those recurring themes that I want us to look at, that we should ponder as we begin our day, that would enable us to begin the day as the psalmist did, with that confidence and that joy. What are these themes that should change the way in which we begin a day? Well, first of all, there's God's protection. Look at what we read in verse 5. "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in His holy habitation." Now, we read over that, we think purely the emotional component of that, and it's certainly there. But you also need to remember the times and the circumstances. Remember, this is a patriarchal society, and they're talking about a family, talking about a wife or a son who had lost the patriarch. There was no longer a sense of identity. There was no longer a sense of protection. There was no longer one who would, in fact, provide and protect for them. This is why the early church took care of widows. And yet, what's the thought here? That God Himself would take them under His wing. Just in the thought applies to us, that God Himself takes us under His wing. You think of what we read in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Israel experienced this wonderful protection of God. Look at verses 11 through 13. "The Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim good tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee. They flee, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, you're like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glistening gold." And you think also what we read down in verse 35. "O God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel Himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God." Yes, we wake up to a very dangerous world. There's no denying that. But we don't face it alone. God is, in fact, our protector. You think back at times in your life when God has wonderfully protected you. You look at the scriptures, the times that God protected his people. What a confidence we ought to have as we begin each day that we have God as our protector. We also have God's blessing. Look at verse 6. God makes a home for the lonely, and he leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God is the one who fills our life with meaning, with purpose, with fulfillment. And not because there's an absence of problems, and not because he's takes those problems away, but in the midst of them. You think about what we see in Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, even in these days that we find ourselves, God fills our life. God blesses our life. And I invite you, if your life is broken and shattered, he is the one who can and will put the pieces together if you let him. First of all, in salvation, that's got to be the beginning. But also, believer, in your ongoing life. He's the one who can put our life together and will actually bring that blessing. But notice as well, we also have God's presence. Look at verses 7 through 10. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. You confirmed your inheritance when it was parched. Your creatures settled in it. You provided in your goodness for the poor, O Lord. You think about this. God didn't just send them. God, in fact, went with them. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And you think about the difference that made in their worship. Verse 26. Bless God in the congregations, even the Lord, you who are the fountain of Israel. And I know we read about those verses like that, and we think about God with the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And we think, well, you know, that was so much easier for them because they had God there with them. They had it so good. Well, they did, but we have it even better. You see, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. God, the Holy Spirit. God himself is with us. He is, in fact, within us. He is just as much with us from within through the Holy Spirit as he was with them with the cloud and with the column of fire. God is with us. And so as we face this day, we don't face it alone. God is with us. And we need to remember when we get up every morning and, you know, our mind goes through all the list of challenges or problems or difficulties or things we have to accomplish, difficult tasks. We need to remember God is with us. He has wonderful presence. But not only that, we also have God's enabling. You know, sometimes we dread those tasks or those things we have to do because we think, you know, there's no way that I can do them. Well, look at what we read in verses 15 through 18. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. Now, you probably recognize verse 8. It's quoted in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, where it's quoted, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. The imagery there is of a king who has been triumphant in war, and he sets free his own people who are captured. He rewards his people. The direct principle that we see in Ephesians is the fact the giving of spiritual gifts, where God equips us to serve him, equips believers to serve him in a local fellowship in a particular way. But you think about the general principle, the fact that God gives us whatever it is that we need to serve him. Whatever God has put before us, God will enable us, in fact, to be able to face it, to deal with it. He'll give us the talents, the gifts, the abilities, whatever it is that we need, God himself will give it to us. God never intended for us to live the Christian life to face even this one day on our own strength, our own abilities, our own talents. God himself wants to enable us. And so they looked and they saw how God enabled them. And again, you think from the New Testament, how God has enabled us. You know what a difference it makes when you face a day knowing God's protection, His blessing, His presence, His enabling. That ought to cause us to get out of bed by saying, again in verse 1, let God arise, let His enemies be scattered, let those who hate Him flee before Him. Verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song for Him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before Him. That ought to be the way we get up in the morning. When we think about this great God who is with us, protecting us, blessing us, enabling us, in Him we have everything we need to face this day. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence, Your reality, Your power. Father, forgive us for the times that we've not trusted You, relied upon You, maybe not even sought You. Oh, Lord God, how desperately we need You in our life and especially in these days. Lord, as we get up, may we, oh Lord, remember the wonderful truths in this psalm. May we walk with You, trusting You, and oh God, by Your wonderful grace, experience You. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you do have a wonderful day in the Lord, that you can, in fact, walk in these wonderful principles and truths, that you'll know the